It could have been called Wine and Weed, joked wine writer Tina Caputo, who moderated the eye-opening session. But the examination of potential for both collaboration and competition between the two was serious.
It's become obvious that the two industries have a lot to gain from working together, and the wine industry would be wise to take a closer look at what the cannabis industry is doing in states where recreational use has been legal for a while, and really pay attention to what those industries are doing.
Three of the panelists came from other states where recreational cannabis is already legal, established, and creating new adjunct business opportunities. In Colorado, Philip Wolf is pioneering cannabis and food pairings in $250 tour events that draw a broad demographic mix.
Outside of food, it's the only commodity that people use for religious, for spiritual reasons, for medical reasons, and lifestyle reasons. So it does fit this really, really wide margin of people. But a demographic that people never look at is the seniors, because they don't have to have drug tests anymore. They don't actually have to deal with the stigma or getting fired from their job. So they're actually really coming out in the open and being very pro-cannabis, also because it's helping them. It's a really good substitute for some of the other pills that they might be taking, and so they live a better lifestyle because of cannabis.
But many of his tour takers come from out of state, Wolf says, and are wary of being seen partaking while traveling. Todd Rule's Pedal Bike Tours in Portland has begun offering a cycling excursion that includes stops at dispensaries where riders may make purchases, although they are not permitted to consume their pot during the tour. But Rule says their cannabis tour has so far drawn just modest interest.
This is kind of the brave souls who've come out of the darkness, you know. Oh, yes, I do smoke. But I think there's a lot more people who either don't admit that they do or maybe have not partaken because it's simply illegal. Take my parents, for example. They would never touch this stuff because it's illegal, yet they know nothing about it. And I think there's untold millions in this country who are in the same boat.
Oregon's wine industry has also been cautious so far, says Michael Brown, VP of sales for Sokol Blosser Winery, southwest of Portland. But he sees a commingled future as inevitable.
I think there's a huge potential. It's happening right now. It's in early stages, so I think you're going to see it mature. It's going to take probably decades to do so. I think the early adopters are going to capitalize on the collaboration, and the people that are putting it at arm's reach are going to have to catch up, and that is a when, but not an if it's going to happen.
What all this means for California wineries is not yet clear, says Rebecca Stamey White, a beverage law attorney from the San Francisco firm of Hinman & Carmichael. Applicable law in this state is only beginning to come into focus, she says, and while combining tasting rooms for cannabis and Cabernet may sound like a natural pairing, it's not on the near horizon.
Being able to have a tasting room environment like a winery where you would also be able to have cannabis could happen, but I think it's much more likely that in the meantime people will develop different systems, different business models, creative marketing ideas to be able to have places where you would have access to both, but not in the same physical premises.
Even so, says cyclist Todd Roll, there's no doubt that the two industries share consumers.
Beer drinkers and wine drinkers are smoking pot. I can guarantee it.
I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB's North Bay Report.